think of the last verse of the hymn that Brother Bob gave out at the beginning of address 71 in the back of the book. It's verse 6. It says, "Yet in sight of Calvary, contrite should my spirit be, rest in holiness as fine, fashioned like my Savior's mind." Yesterday, Brother Michael Bruce mentioned that he'd often heard the eyes, and isn't that common when we speak? Sometimes we have the eye get into it, and we've all probably seen that motto of pride, and it starts with a small p and it gets up right up the middle, a big eye in the middle. But I really speak this afternoon about someone very precious to most of us, if not all of us here, and how our blessings flow out as a result of his actions. And that is the 23rd Psalm. Well known to all of us, a very precious psalm. And I know that the book of Psalms primarily apply to Israel, particularly the one we have before is the 23rd Psalm. I believe that this psalm will be very precious to the little remnant in the day of tribulation. But I believe that, as I often say, that Scripture has one interpretation but many applications. And so I would like to apply this psalm somewhat in a practical way to us here as we go through this scene. It speaks of the shepherd, and of course, who else is referred to as the sheep. And I don't profess to know a lot about sheep from experience. My surname comes from Scotland, in the lowlands of Scotland, where I understand my surname means the keeper of sheep, but that's about, even though I grew up on a farm, I don't know much about sheep. But I have, what I would say today was basically what I've learned from another who was a shepherd. And I believe that this psalm has meant a lot more to me as I have learned something from a shepherd's side that refers to a sheep. And so the psalm, as we all know, it starts out with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And if we go to the John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." As we read this verse, "I am the good shepherd," perhaps we've read it 100 times and don't pay much attention to the word "good," but having learned from a shepherd, apparently there are some shepherds that are not good. Some shepherds don't really care for their sheep. Other shepherds are very diligent and are very close to their sheep. And so we can see why the Spirit of God is put in here, "I am the good shepherd," because it means very something very special to a shepherd who keeps sheep, and it should mean something very special to us as believers. "I am the good shepherd, and he giveth his life for the sheep." In verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and am known of mine." And this is, I'd like to say a few words, and "I'm known of mine." I am the good shepherd, and I'm known of mine. Not everyone in this room, not safe to say that anyone in this room knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They know the shepherd to a degree. But I've often told that story, and many have heard it perhaps from other areas, that my father used to love to tell us, of a young man who got saved. He accepted Christ as his Savior, and he came across an older brother, and he said, "I know the best thing in the world." And the old brother says, "Well, what is that?" And he says, "Well, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." And the old gentleman said, "I know something better than that." He said, "How could you know something better than that?" He said, "I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my companion." Do we know the shepherd? Do each one of us in this room know the shepherd as our companion? Someone has said the easiest way to get to know somebody is to spend some time with them in their home. And as you mentioned, my wife and I have the privilege of spending quite a bit of time with Brother Daniel and Ariel in Belgium in October. And I can safely say that I know this dear couple much better than I did before. I knew them, but I can safely say that I know them much better. And so do we know the shepherd? Is he our companion today? Or are we dissatisfied of being a believer? Or are we seeking to have him as a companion in every step of the way as we go through the scene? We are in difficult days, we all know, we don't need to have to go into it. And I believe that we need to keep close to the shepherd, we who are his sheep. And he has brought that before us, no one of mine. And as we go further, I shall not want. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord has said, I will supply all your needs? I will supply all your needs. Someone has looked at this, they agree with wholeheartedly that I shall not want of it. But they have also added something I never thought of before, and said, I shall not want to the other side of it. I shall not want my own way. I shall not want to control my burden. I shall not want to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. So we have both sides of it. Scripture tells us, I shall not want. That's true. As we go through, as we follow the shepherd, he will fill us all our desires, and all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct that path. But through the thought, because I thought pass on of this one, I thought the other side, but I shall not want to do my own will. I shall not want to upset my dear brethren. I shall not want to do things that are displeasing to the Lord. And you know, sometimes we all were young people at one time, all were teenagers at one time, and I think sometimes even as older ones, we sometimes ask the question, what is wrong with it? What is wrong with it? When our dad and mom says, well, I don't think you should do that, what is wrong with it? That's our question. But I shall not want to do that which is displeasing to the Lord. So I just pass that little thought on that there, when we read that, that I shall not want. Yes, the Lord has promised to take care of us, all our needs. Not our greeds, of course, but all our needs. But there is that little thought on the other side that I shall not want to do this and I shall not want to do that. And then it says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. You know, it's amazing that the Lord, when he chose to be the shepherd, he chose us the subject as a sheep. Why didn't he choose cattle? Why didn't he choose other animals? But I understand, from a shepherd, that sheep are the most stubborn animal in the world. And they are animals that are most likely to go astray. And yet the Lord has chosen to call his sheep. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Furthermore, sheep do not lie down very easily. If they're disturbed in any way, they will not lie down. Furthermore, sheep will wear out the ground right down, they'll eat the last grass, the last straw of grass, and they'll even with their feet destroy the surface of the land if they're left. But a good shepherd takes them to greener pastures to avoid that from happening and let the grass replenish itself. I was thinking of Psalm 107, Psalm 107, and verse 30, then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Sheep that love that green grass, and that's where the shepherd desires to bring them, into the green grass. But not only that, he desires that they lie down. And apparently sheep, the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep is very strong if the shepherd is a good shepherd. And sheep are more apt to lie down if the shepherd is present. Because as I say, by nature, sheep do not lie down very easily. But he maketh them lie down in green pastures. He desires, the Lord desires our blessing. The Lord desires that we might be happy. Desires that we might be so lying down in those green pastures, feeding upon that which is of him. And then it says he leadeth me beside still waters. Well, we could go back to the same psalm again, Psalm 107, verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He leadeth me beside still waters. So Paul gave us that hymn, "Lead on, Almighty Lord. He leadeth me beside the waters." Well, we know what would happen if the sheep were to go into fast flowing waters. Sheep don't swim very easily, and we know they would be destroyed. Sheep also, if they're not controlled, they will tend to drink out of muddy waters. But the shepherd has a greater desire for them, and he would lead them beside not only the still waters, but those clear still waters. Again, the Lord would have us lead us beside the still waters. I believe that if we go again to well-known Psalm in 119, verse 130, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." The entrance of thy word giveth light. The word of God of those waters, we need to allow the consider those entrances of his word give us light. He leadeth me beside the waters. We need that word of God, don't we? And if we're going to go on with the shepherd who values his word so much, a word which is going to endure forever, which is very precious to the shepherd, he values us to follow him beside those still waters that are found in the word of God. And it says, "He restoreth my soul." What a wonderful thing that Bob made a reference to it with respect to Peter restoring his soul. And in some small way, some greater than others, the Lord, our soul has to be restored from time to time, doesn't it? Perhaps we, whether we're old or young, we sometimes find something that's very appealing to the flesh. And if we're not careful, we step out of the path. Not just speaking sheep. Are no different. They like things that appeal to them naturally too. And if there's a small hollow in the land, find that in a warm day, they find that cool, a spot cool, and the sheep will roll into that, back into that hollow, because it's cool to them in a hot day. It's appealing to the flesh, to be cooled off. But what they don't realize, it seems that they cannot, as they're lying there with their feet up and 4 feet up in the air, that they cannot get out of that hollow. And if they're left there, they would die. And so a shepherd, a good shepherd, he keeps an eye on his flock. That situation is called a calf sheep, C-A-S-T, a calf sheep. And one shepherd was going away for a little while, and he told his son, he said, "Watch out while I'm away for those calf sheep, because if they stay there, they will die." And so we have to go out and take that sheep and lift it out of it, that situation. He restores my soul. And not only does he lift that sheep out of that position, but he has to massage its legs, get the circulation going again. so that sheep can walk around in comfort. What he's done is restored that sheep to its natural situation. And it says, he restored my soul. Can we go to Psalm 42 and verse 11? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Why art thou cast down? Well, we could say that to the natural sheep and to the sheep. Why did you get yourself into that position anyway? Because the sheep could answer, because I found it very appealing to the flesh. And I often, sad to say, in my own life, I found that which is appealing to the flesh, and I failed. But I'm thankful for that verse, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. And so, what a comfort we have. And we have it says in Daniel 9 that he is a merciful God. Aren't we thankful that we have a merciful shepherd? Another place it tells us that he's gracious and full of compassion. Sometimes when we get out of the path, we think to ourselves, oh, the shepherd or the savior, he's against me now, I've failed. God's against me now. Oh, he's a God of compassion, a gracious God, a merciful God. And he seeks restoration. And so he says that he restoreth my soul. Then we have, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We go to Psalm 107 again, verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Are we willing to follow the shepherd in that path of righteousness? We go to Psalm 25, which is very close to Psalm 23. Verse 4, it says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Are we willing as individuals to bow to those scriptures? Show me thy ways, O Lord. It doesn't say, show me my ways. It says to show me thy ways and teach me. Teach me thy path. Are we willing to follow in those that pathway? He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be led on by the shepherd? Sometimes sheep don't want to follow. Sometimes the shepherd has to take drastic action. But oh, the blessed Savior, he would prefer that we might follow him in obedience rather than him having to take that drastic action. I remember once being in Vancouver, BC, and sitting in the home of late Brother John Green. We had driven him home from the gospel meeting. Dorothy had already gone to be with the Lord. John lived in a building where mostly were believers. And a lady came to the door, knocked on the door, and she had been to a fellowship dinner of some sort, wherever she attended. And she had some goodies left over for John, who was living by himself. And so I was there, so he said, come on in. And so John took her through the day that we had spent. We had remembered the Lord in the morning and so forth, and gospel in the evening. And when he mentioned about the remembrance of the Lord, she said, I want to be so sure that I am in the right place that when I get to heaven that I will not find out I was wrong. Your brother John took it through the scriptures. I wish I'd written down now the scripture, but there came to one scripture that she would not bow to. She was not willing to follow the shepherd in each step of the way. Only one. And so that was her problem. She was not willing to bow to one scripture. She was not willing to fully follow the Lord. And so it says to show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And how wonderful it is when we, in our individual lives, we get to that place that we accept that the soul we can truly walk in that right path that the Lord speaks of in Psalm 107. Then we go down to the next one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is a verse that we sometimes quote to someone that's on a deathbed. We try to comfort them by saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But it is not so that we, each day of the year as we go through, we're really walking through that valley of the shadow of death. There are many enemies, and as we travel around, there are people who would love to take our life. And I believe if we're left here longer, we may experience a little more persecution simply because we are believers. There are those in this world that hate, not only hate the name of Christ, but they hate everyone who follows the Lord. If we were living in Sudan or some of these lands, Northern Korea, we probably would experience what I'm talking about. And so, we are really walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And when it's speaking here, I say, fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Apparently in the sheep countries, in the summertime, they take the sheep up to higher ground in the summertime, which is cooler up there, and so the sheep follow the shepherds through the valley up to the top of that land. But before he takes the sheep up there, he goes up and he examines the surroundings. And there's a particular type of plant, I've forgotten the name of it, but it's poison to a sheep. So the shepherd, this particular shepherd, took his family with him, and they would pull out all these weeds so that the sheep would not eat them. He was concerned for a sheep. The shepherd is concerned for you and I. But the shepherd knows that as he leads those sheep up to that higher land, that there are cougars, there are lions, bears, he knows. And so the sheep here speaking, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Oh, the shepherd. How comforting it was to the sheep to have the shepherd present with them. Are we glad when we go to school or go to the office or wherever we may be? Are we glad that we have the Lord with us? I was encouraged by getting an email from Brother Samuel in India just before I left, and he said we're going to spend the next couple of days with the Lord and His Word. He wanted to be in the presence. The dear Indian saints wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. Going to spend the next couple of days with the Lord and His Word. And so, what a comfort the one who's writing this, for thou art with me. Oh, how lovely it is to have the shepherd with us as we go through this scene. And I will fear no evil, for I have with me thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I used to have some problem with how the rod could comfort me, because I think of a rod as policemen carry rods sometimes, for they're not called rods, they're called something else, but they carry them with them in the case of a riot, they can use them. And I used to have trouble with how a rod could comfort me. But I find out that even the young men, or probably young ladies today, I don't know if there are any lady shepherds or not, but young men training to be shepherds, they go out and they make their own rod, and they practice competition to see who can throw that rod and land close to the target. Why is that? because when the shepherd sees the cougar coming, or sees the lion coming, he can throw that rod, and it can land right on the target. And so sheep can be comforted by the shepherd who has that rod. Yes, he may use the rod when we step out of the line and have to be restored, or we become rebellious and don't want to be restored. The shepherd may have to use that rod, but the rod is the comfort here. And so what a comforting thing the sheep knows is when that shepherd has that rod in his hand, and one of those wild animals come, that he can throw that rod and I can hit the target. And so it's a comfort to know that he has the shepherd with him. And not only has the shepherd with him, but he knows that the shepherd can hit the target in protection. And so don't we, this afternoon, we have a shepherd. We have our blessed Savior who sees the unseen enemy. We don't always see the unseen enemy, but how he can protect us along the way. And then the rod, or rather than the staff. Well, I can understand the staff, because it's something the shepherd can use. But he also uses it in discipline as well, but he uses it often in comfort. Sometimes a sheep would have wool on it, they'll go into a rose bush, or a group of rose bushes or something, and then they can't get out. And so the shepherd takes that staff and the crook on it and they'll pull them out. But that's not the intended purpose of the staff, it's to be a comfort. And something I was very touched by, sometimes a shepherd, as you mentioned, comes very close to the sheep. And the blessed Lord Jesus seeks to be close to us this afternoon. Every one of us who know him as our Lord and Savior, the Lord wants to be close to us. Are we willing to be let him draw us near? We think of how Joseph could say to his brethren, draw near to me, and they drew near. Are we willing to draw near to our blessed shepherd this afternoon? And something I learned I didn't know before, that sometimes when a sheep would walk along with the shepherd, that the shepherd would take that staff and just give a little tap, so they should just let the sheep know that he was in unison, or they are in harmony with the sheep as it walks along. He gives a little tap to it. And do we feel the tap, the shepherd's tap this afternoon? Do we feel him as we go through this scene, seeking to not only wanting him to be our companion, but he wants to be our companion, and he wants us close. And so we then go on. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, apparently this plateau that they take sheep up to in the summertime, and those who speak Spanish here can correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand that in some languages that the table, the word table is mesa. And so we're languages that are not, we're accustomed to speaking English, but if you speak Spanish, it would be mesa. And it's a table, they call that plateau a table. And so he says, the shepherd prepares a table before him in the presence of my enemies. Remember, we mentioned about how he goes up first, and he checks the surroundings around to make sure there's none of those poisonous weeds there, and checks around to make sure there's no wild animals close by. He prepares a table in the presence of the enemy. Oh, they are those enemies that can come out of the bushes at any point. But he prepares that table in the presence of the one that he now prepares, or the shepherd. I prepare the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Oh, everyone, didn't we enjoy being at the Lord's table this morning to remember the Lord and his death? We're in an enemy's land. We're not home yet. We're in the wilderness. There are many unforeseen enemies around about us who would love to demolish anything to do with the Lord's table. But the Lord has prepared a table in the presence of our enemies. Isn't that wonderful? I would like to just go to Luke 22 briefly. Leave some time for another brother. So, Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 9. They were to prepare the Passover, and so the question came up in verse 9. They said, to the Lord Jesus, they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? This is wonderful. They didn't say, where will we prepare? It says, where wilt thou that we prepare? Well, isn't wonderful when the question comes up, where I should remember the Lord. Someone, a relative of mine, told me they went to a certain place because they're two boys at the time, I think they were teenagers at the time, and they said, our teenagers fit in there pretty well, so that's why we go there. But sooner or later, they found up going to somewhere else because something turned up that it wasn't. They looked for something else that might suit them better, and so on and so forth. But the question come up here is, Lord, where wilt thou? Where wilt thou that we prepare? And isn't it wonderful when we get to that point in our lives that, where wilt thou? Not where will I prepare, but where wilt thou? Will he disappoint us? No. He led them up to that. He told them to go and meet that man carrying a pitcher of water, which is the Spirit of God. And he led them to that room. That man was carrying a pitcher of water. Brother Henry and I can attest to the fact that in India, at least I have never seen a man carry a pitcher of water. I've seen a lady carrying it, but not a man. And so it's unusual for men to carry a pitcher of water. But what is taught out there is the Spirit of God, and he led them to that room fully furnished. I like to say that what that means, fully furnished. But the Lord Jesus is all the furniture we need in the room when we remember him. In India, they don't even sit on most of them don't even sit on chairs. And so, it's fully furnished when we have the Lord. And so, how wonderful when we get that point in our lives that we can say, where wilt thou that we prepare? And then it says, thou anointest my head with oil. I didn't fully realize what that means, but in the area of the sheep, in the tree where the shepherd was the sheep, their entrance, insects will form on their forehead and eventually get into their nostrils, and sheep will eventually die as a result of it if they don't have something done about it. So the shepherd will prepare the short I got from was a homemade linseed oil and extra products in it, and he would put it on. And he also made a comment that with respect to sheep having this difficulty with this insect, they seem for some reason, if they get it together and rub heads, it helps them. But what it does really is one sheep may not have the bugs and it passes it on to the other and causes a worse problem. And so sometimes we need to be careful that we don't, that we're, those things that may cause us difficulties come errands in our own lives, that we don't rub heads with our brethren and pass them on to our brethren. Proverbs 6 says the Lord hates those that sow discord amongst brethren. And so we need to be careful we don't pass those errands. But what the shepherd does is he puts anointment on their head, take away that difficulty. And so the Holy Spirit, God has given us a comfort. The Lord Jesus told us there would be a comfort given to us, the Holy Spirit, after he left this scene. And so we can take our difficulties to the Lord, but don't pass them on to others. And then it says, my cup runneth over. Well, we've been taking up Romans 8, and verse 17, and if children then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so we that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. I hope Brother Doug doesn't mind me mentioning it. But we took up this subject last night, talking about being heirs and joint heirs. I could see visibly that Brother Doug's cup was running over. You know, something when our cup runs over, it affects our brother, doesn't it? When we're enjoying the Lord, to an extent, enjoying the truths of God's Word, we may not realize it. Brother Doug probably didn't realize it was having an effect on me, seeing him enjoying that wonderful truth. And so, when our cup runs over, we can share it with our brethren. We may not even notice it, because others are taking notice, but we are enjoying the Lord. And so, when my cup runs over, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I would like to turn to Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of the life. Oh, as we as sheep this afternoon, do we realize that how great is the goodness of God, which he has laid up for them that fear him. Oh, how precious the word of God is. And then it says, and I will dwell, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, I think it's the Jewish little Jewish remnant will certainly look forward to that day of the millennium period when they can rest peacefully in the temple of God. But there's one broader point which I've never thought of before, and I say I'm trying to speak from a practical point of view. Practical point of view is this psalm. I would like to turn first to Timothy 3:17. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's not heaven we're speaking of here. This is on earth right now. That's the house that we are living in as believers. And so the exercise here is how we prepare, how we behave ourselves in that house amongst them in which we are in the midst of. And so this individual did not know the truth that we know, but they made reference to the point of dwelling in the house that he's speaking of here in Timothy, that we might have a desire to live in harmony with our brethren. We might live in a position that we might want to be an encouragement to our brethren right now, that we might want to encourage one another, that we might want to seek each other's blessings down here as believers. And there's the other side of it. We're all looking at hope to that moment when the Lord will give the shout and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But in the meantime, may these words be an encouragement to us that the relationship, I believe that Brother Allen has brought before us more than once during these meetings, it's the relationship that we've been brought into. And Brother Frank mentioned a new position, and that relationship that we have with the shepherd. May these words be an encouragement to us this afternoon.
We just have a few minutes remaining, but I was just wondering, could we turn back to the 22nd Psalm? The 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalms link together. The 23rd Psalm is, the 22nd Psalm is, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We could never enjoy the 23rd Psalm as we have this afternoon if the 22nd Psalm didn't exist. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? So there we find the Lord Jesus. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And there we also find that he says, there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And so we find Israel and the church together. The shepherd, you know, I always thought of a shepherd as one who chased his sheep to where they were to go. And then one day I saw a calendar of a photograph taken in a Swiss Alps. And it was a shepherd who was walking through a mountain pass, and behind him was the whole flock of sheep following the shepherd. How wonderful. The 23rd Psalm, we find the great shepherd, Hebrews 13, beginning at verse 19. I beseech you, rather, to do this, that you may restore to you the sooner. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, according, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then, the 24th Psalm, this psalm to me is just one of the most incredible psalms, the last part of it. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Oh, what are we looking forward to? We're looking forward to be caught up. But you know, Frank made a comment about us when we come back with the Lord. And think about it. What's going to happen on this earth? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. So here we find a beautiful pattern in these three psalms. The Lord Jesus is the one who gave himself, the shepherd, the good shepherd, that giveth his life for the sheep. And then he's the great shepherd. And then in the 24th Psalm, 1 Peter chapter 5, shepherds, of necessity, it leads that there's responsibility. And neither being lords, the third verse, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The chief shepherd shall appear. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He's the chief shepherd. Oh, how marvelous to see the character of the Lord Jesus as the shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd that giveth his life, the chief shepherd, and the great shepherd. How marvelous to see the person of the Christ and what he is. And so we have all of these characters presented to us in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus as that perfect shepherd. Now, there's only a couple of minutes. Turn with me for just a minute to Ezekiel chapter 34. And we have something, I think, very solemn, and I think that those of us who are older, this is the sort of thing that should exercise us. It says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Oh, how marvelous to think. That's the position a shepherd should be in, to feed the flock. And that's what we find there in Hebrews. It's really those that watch for your souls as they that must give an account. There's the feeding of the flock. But how it should exercise us that there is something for the flock, something for the sheep. The little shepherd boy, you know, if he was having trouble in school, and the teacher, trying to teach him math, said to him, well, if you have 100 sheep in the field, and one of them gets out, how many do you have left? The little shepherd boy says, none. Well, now, if you have 100 sheep and one gets out, how many would you have left? None. Why not? Because if one gets out, they'll all get out. And so how careful we need to be to follow the shepherd and not the other sheep.